Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast that doesn't often accept unsolicited emails, but in this instance it did. I'm just sorry that Fenton's not here to enjoy the fruits of that. I'm your host, John Bruford, not joined by your other host, Fenton Costello. He's busy being a top executive somewhere. Honestly, it's anybody's guess what he's doing, but I bet he's doing it very, very well. I got an email from our guest saying, want to come on the podcast? And I thought it was an interesting enough project that he was working on, and it ties in with a recent episode as well, that I just thought, yeah, fuck it, why not? But before I come to introducing our guest, do I still say our guest, or do I just say my guest now?
I think it's all yours. You took it over.
Yeah, screw you, Fenton. Now I've got to say our guest, because then that's like the podcast is it's the royal we. I don't know if you're familiar with that term in the US, but it's a common term in the UK. We do have some sponsors that we need to shout about. We have OptiMove, the creators of positionless marketing. That is marketing without a position. I know, right? And what we always say is go and get the demo because you're going to be amazed. It's CRM software. It's I believe, the number one CRM software in the iGaming industry. But it is quite breathtaking in what it allows you to do, in the granularity it allows you to achieve, both in analyzing marketing campaigns, but also in the creation and delivery of those campaigns. It's stunning software. We don't say this lightly. Fenton and I were both knocked out by it. So get the demo. If you sign up and tell them that you came from us, they also give you a 1 month free. Now, whether that's the first month or the last month is anybody's guess. OptiMove.com. Let me see. Who else is there? Oh, yeah. World Gaming. Formerly known as Clarion Gaming, organizers of the ICE Expo, the juggernaut, the number one gaming show in the gambling industry in Barcelona, of course, in 2027. I hope you'll be there because we'll be doing the second iteration of the Gambling Book Awards there. They just did IGB Live. They just do great events. They do. They're just so good. They're so good. I'm not dissing any of the other events places out there. There's some great events in the gambling industry. There's a lot of events in the gambling industry. But ICE remains the benchmark, and for good reason. And that's what Clarion do. Finally, last but definitely, definitely not least, it's our newest sponsors. Would I describe them as our loveliest and fluffiest also? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that applies. But today's episode is brought to you by Gaming Laboratories International. GLI is a world-class testing, inspections, and certification company committed to... delivering the highest quality land-based lottery and iGaming testing and assessment services around the world. GLI provides suppliers, operators, and regulators with expert guidance for navigating the future of gaming and ensuring gaming innovations meet regulatory standards with confidence in more than 710 jurisdictions. For more information, visit gaminglabs.com. Now, Noah, a lesser host, a more insecure man, might take that stumble in that ad read and edit it out. But I'm not afraid to be seen. I'm not afraid to be seen as a human being, flaws and all. And so I'm going to leave that in there. Not least because if you're driving along and you're like, oh, it's an ad read and you zone out and all that, suddenly you're going to be like, oh, what? Is he choking? And suddenly you're listening to the ad just in time to hear the web address at the end. So I'm leaving that in there because I'm proud of who I am.
In reality, you're helping them. It was
I
a
really
feature.
Am. Not I really, myself. Really am. Like, you couldn't script that. You couldn't script being that utterly fucking useless at reading.
Hey.
Well, it's not it. The reading part went fine. It was the speaking it out loud part. And that's what went badly. So our guest is Noah Rafkin. He's the founder of Bonus Bandit. Bonus Bandit is bonusbandit.win, W-I-N, which is an independent accountability site for U.S. sweepstakes casinos. Now, part of the reason that I thought this, when your email landed in my inbox, I thought that's really fascinating because some people in the gambling industry on all sides are starting to realize, finally, for fuck's sake, finally, that the key differentiator between products, because ultimately there's not that broad a spread of products to offer somebody. Games are largely quite similar. The difference is in the UX and it's in the customer service, right? And people are starting to come around to that. They are starting to realize that actually, do you know what? The speed of withdrawal, are they going to mess me around? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? That's kind of important. That's kind of fundamental to the player. What odds you use. Somebody else might offer better odds, but if they're going to dick around and make it difficult or put obstacles in the way of you actually taking your money out, I don't know about you, I would accept worse odds for better service.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of what we factor into our own reviews. The biggest thing is, like, can you actually get your money back out? And especially in the sweepstakes industry, which I'm sure we'll go into, it becomes even more important just due to the landscape. But
so let's start at the beginning, because Fintan might listen to this. And he loves a good origin story, right? So I hope I'm okay to ask you this, right? But how old are you, Noah?
I am 21 years old.
21, dude. 21. It's kind of depressing.
Why is that?
What was I doing when I was 21, Noah? I was flogging my guts out for a publishing company that couldn't have cared less. Anyway, that's by the by. How long has the site been running?
So we've been up and running for about 2 months now. We launched late May as sort of a soft launch, and we've been picking up since June and been going strong ever since.
Okay. Now, I appreciate our listeners aren't necessarily your end users, but they might be the people that your end users are using. And so this is good knowledge for them to have, because it's only really, I'm not sure if there are any sites like yours for the more general gambling industry. But if there isn't, it's only a matter of time. And it comes back to what we were saying. So I mentioned earlier that this sort of ties into a previous episode. We did an episode 2 weeks ago, I think, with a lovely guy called Patrick J. And Patrick's declaration was basically customer trust shapes the gaming industry. And it's, you can't actually put a price on that, because one of the things that we talk about in the industry is, you know, it's really expensive to acquire new players. I mean, it's one of the main costs. It's far cheaper to keep players. Why are we so bad at keeping players? And it comes down to some of the things that you guys are looking at. And I think that's really interesting. What motivated you to start the site? Was it like bad experiences yourself or what?
Yeah, I got into it myself, the sweepstakes industry, when I was 19. So a few years ago, far before I actually started the site, and sort of just due to the area they're in, I did have quite a few bad experiences, and just a lot of things where I would look for resources online anywhere on what was actually happening And it was extremely hard to actually find an honest, you know, trustworthy place. I mean, the search results were, you know, dominated by, you know, sort of the same manufactured, you know, top 10 lists, from all the affiliate sites, which is absolutely fine. I mean, I take my affiliate funding myself, but, what I notice is like, there's nobody out there who's trying to disclose, how their rankings are actually made. You know, you have like a top 10 list and, you know, you don't actually see anything on the site other than, you know, your signup bonus. You know, you don't see, have people actually been paid out from here? You know, what are their public sentiment? Like, is it easy to have your KYC verified? Are they going to, you know, string you around? And I was noticing that even on these sites where, you know, it was heavily promoted, you could run into a lot of issues where, you know, nobody was talking about it publicly, even though I'm sure I was not the only one running into these issues. So that's what sort of motivated me into making the site.
So bonusbandit.win, I mean, I should have guessed it from the name, really. You're acting as an affiliate, but you are front loading a ton of information for your players fundamentally.
Yes. So sort of the premise is, the main flagship feature is, I believe we have somewhere around 230 sites, ranked on a trust score. So 0 to 100, and the methodology is public and it's 100% mechanical. So I can't decide necessarily if I want to boost one site or take down another one. There's factors that are weighted, and it's all database. So most of it is firsthand data from me. I've been playing these sites for a few years now, and I had an absolute backload of data, on everything that's happened to me on these sites. And I think that's more valuable to someone than, anything else they could find is, you know, a real person did this. There, here's the screenshots. Here's, you know, the transcripts, and this is what happened. Like, there's, you can't deny or argue with that. And so all that data is, taken into a database, computed, and then spit out, and we try and update, the site as often as we can. And then it also serves just as a secondary resource for all news sweepstakes. So, the legality is often, changing quickly. And players can be left sort of blindsided by that. So we try and fit that into the narrative as well.
Hmm. Yeah, I think fundamentally the best affiliate sites are the ones that are already doing something useful. You know, like I think I don't visit it anymore, but I remember casino.org is excellent for news, like really excellent. It picks up stories that the gambling industry B2B press misses. Mm-hmm. And that blows my mind. So yeah, the best affiliate, Casino News NL as well, you know, specifically for Netherlands, but they are adamant and they've broken news stories as well before actual media outlets in the Netherlands have gone anywhere near them. It's like, yeah, if you're doing that, you're winning both sides of that battle. Plus, not to mention those juicy, juicy links. So this is probably a stupid question, but I get to ask stupid questions because Fintan's not here. I'm pretty sure I know the answer because you're an affiliate, but what if say a site that you've had great experiences with, and you know, on your site, it's like, these guys are great, 98% payouts, hardly any disputes, blah, blah, blah. Can they come to you and say, you know, can we use those stats? Can we use those stats on other affiliate sites we're working with, or is this something that is exclusively for you?
No. And I've open sourced all of my data, actually. I have all of it for use. I mean, attribution, CC BY, but it's open on Kaggle and on my GitHub repo. I think this data is not something that should be gate kept. I mean, this is, you know, real consumers, real money. And unfortunately, you know, regulation is lacking behind in sweepstakes, especially. So to withhold this from just public use doesn't feel right to me. And it wasn't really the mission behind what we were doing. So everything we post, publish has receipts backed up in our database that anybody can go and inspect and see what they think as well.
So you say that's not sort of part of the mission, but I mean, have you declared the mission here?
To me, the mission has been declared. It's mainly a consumer protection project, in the sense that I started this because I felt like I had sort of been misled and led astray and had certain things happen to me that I did not want other people to have to experience. And they certainly don't have to. There's no shortage of absolutely amazing operators and websites. And there's also no shortage of websites where, you know, you're better off, you know, taking a hike. So that is the mission to me, is to have sort of an authoritative, honest, as unbiased as you can, sort of resource for people to look at, see numbers, not just, oh, this site's good. You know, there's actual data behind it and they can verify that themselves and then make a decision based on that.
What are the criteria that you're using to assess sites?
Yeah, so it's a 7-factor methodology, and each of them are weighted a bit differently based on their importance. And I've sort of played around with this prior to launch to see, you know, what was most important to people, what was most important to me. But the largest factor is redemption. So if you're able to actually request a redemption and they don't put you through hoops, you get your redemption in a timely manner, and you get that with support through the whole way. So, you know, you're not just guessing when that's going to happen. And they're sticking to what they say. A lot of these sites say, you know, 2-3 business days, it turns into like, you know, 2 weeks. That's something a consumer should know far before they sign up to that website, is, you know, is that actually what's going on? On that vein, we also analyze all of their terms and conditions for, you know, honest practices. Is what they're saying in there actually link up to what they're, you know, producing on their website? Is it fair? Do they reserve the right to take away all of your winnings? Do they deserve the right to cap your winnings? Do they, you know, arbitration? All these things that, you know, the average person isn't going to really be looking at them, right? You know, they're hidden oftentimes deep in these terms and conditions, but they are important. You know, people, there's complaints on a lot of sites about, you know, these terms and clauses hidden deep in there that have, you know, been very detrimental to experience. And, you know, people aren't, I mean, that's just, I know I certainly usually don't go reading the whole terms and conditions, but, you know, when you're playing with money like this, it's important to know. And then we also scrape public sentiment data off of Trustpilot and forums. So we have somewhere around 500,000 Trustpilot reviews cataloged, and we run analysis on that. It does play a factor into each site's trust score. Its reviews are admittedly a little hand wavy sometimes, but the theory is that with a large enough sample size, you can get some pretty good, you know, indications of a site off of that. And we do have a minimum sample size for that as well. And then there's a few others. So like KYC, a lot of these sites will loop you around in circles, make you backflip while holding your ID between your toes, and then you can.
And they only do it when you start winning, right?
That is another thing. Oftentimes these sites don't even let you verify your identity until you have the minimum redemption, which is seems a bit ulterior motive there, but another thing is we don't try and make any claims about websites that we can't back up with our actual data. So not going to speculate on why or these things are happening, but from a consumer standpoint, it's important for them to be known.
Okay. Public sentiment data is really interesting. I was doing some research on public sentiment towards sweep sites, actually, a while ago. And I wound up on Reddit. And, you get the real shit there, don't you?
Absolutely.
Everybody wants to be heard and feel heard, to use a crappy therapy phrase, but it's true. And people share in these forums. It's a funny thing. Like, a friend of mine used to work in a cafe in my hometown, right? And I should have warned you before we started, I have a tendency to go off on stories that seem irrelevant and often are. And I saw her the one day and she was fucking fuming, right? And I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, right, we've got this review on TripAdvisor. This woman, on this review, she writes, I've had countless good experiences in this cafe, but I felt compelled to write a review today because of the bad experience I just had. Right, so you've been here 40 times and had a good experience, never written about it, have one bad experience and give us a one-star review. These things are always weighted towards the bad. And I'm not saying that that's not relevant. Of course it is. So people do sometimes share good stories, but mostly on things like Reddit, they're bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you can mitigate that. Can you mitigate that? Or are you weighting degrees of bad to kind of that, like the least bad is good and the most bad is very bad?
Yeah, it is a good point on a few ends. I think, reviews are inherently in any business. People are more inclined to leave bad reviews when many people don't have a good experience to say, I'm going to go leave a fantastic review for this site. They only pull out their phone when something bad has happened to them, which is just inherent to how reviews work. And similar to that, there's also sort of a good amount of people who leave a bad review on something that, is inherent to how, gambling does work. All these, well vetted, regulated providers that, are genuinely used in the iGaming industry as well as in sweepstakes, they're not rigging your slots. I mean, you did just lose, and I'm not gonna, scrape a review off of the internet that says, I didn't win and gave them a one star. That's not really what we're trying to track here. That's, unfortunate, of course, but that's how these sites work. And that's nothing against an operator of a site that, you didn't win a jackpot. And that's not to say all these negative reviews are like that, but there are a good subset where, it's maybe people not understanding entirely how this is supposed to work, or they're just upset. So we do attempt to account for that when we parse the data off the internet. We do keyword scanning, so it's obviously not perfect when you're working with hundreds of thousands of reviews across sites, but we generally attempt to classify them into what are the categories of grievances people have, and we obviously are going to take more care into bad reviews on, oh, I won all this money and they capped my redemptions, or I won all this money, they didn't pay me, or they took, you know, 3 months to pay me, stuff like that. And keywords matching, you know, I didn't win, you know, their slots are rigged. It is an experience, and we're not going to discount that. You know, that is public sentiment on these sites, and that is important, but, there is a weight, between experiences, and you can't really take someone upset they didn't win as somebody who did win and, you know, they had their winnings forfeit for some reason they didn't even know. That's the more sentiment we're trying to figure out rather than, you know, hand wavy, I don't like this site.
Yeah, it's a real conundrum, frankly. I'm just reading through the notes here. Oh, yeah. The complaint index, the quarterly industry report. So, look, the site's been up for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Quarterly industry report?
We are on our first quarter. But
feels ambitious, Noah.
Yeah. I mean, I have a background in engineering. I mean, I'm going to college for that. So I saw a huge gap in, like, actually data, you know, technology. We live in an amazing time for being able to do, you know, crazy things with data. And I mean, I'm a solo founder, but it's entirely possible. And within, you know, most people's realm of expertise to be able to take all this stuff, you know, pretty autonomously. You know, obviously human review it, but, you know, it's extremely possible to, you know, keep these updates and, in a quarterly fashion. And in the similar, way, we have a change log on the website. So every time someone's trust score moves up or down, you know, their share of 1 or 2 star reviews changes significantly. People can track that. And that is being tracked, like automatically as we're speaking. You know, I've scheduled parsing runs, you know, every week or so, and people can see how fresh this data is, which I found incredibly important in the sweepstakes industry. Things move so quick. I mean, the whole industry itself popped up in, you know, just a few years, or really came to relevancy in just a few years. So I think a lot of the value in honest database is that it's also up to date. You know, sites change quick, so.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. We've talked, or you've talked about cash out problems. Now, that's a customer issue across the entire gambling industry, I think. It's the quickest thing people gripe about because it's pretty fundamental. They've got my money. Now, have you obviously you said earlier that a lot of what's in the database early doors, and tell me if I use too many English expressions here, is from your personal experience. Did you see a lot of commonality across sweep sites in things that were not done well? That might be in the redemption process, or it might be in the sign up process, or whatever. But are there things that you're seeing that you're seeing a lot of?
Yeah, there are definitely some themes that you pick up on, and I think you pull any longtime player on this, they're all going to say pretty similar things. The identity verification and anti-money laundering laws, all very important. But some sites sort of take it to another level, which, you know, can seemingly seem aimed not at, you know, compliance and more at stonewalling and you know, pushing people back on their redemptions. Like, for example, we talked earlier on how some sites don't even let you verify your identity until you have made a purchase or have the minimum amount to cash out. You know, so they're
nothing dodgy in that.
Yeah, they're absolutely willing to take your money. But the second you want to, you know, take some of that back out, they are going to have to make you jump through a ton of hoops. And some of it, I mean, it's all, you know, legally and sort of intellectually understandable what they're doing. But it's sort of the methods in which they get into how they do it. You know, a lot of these sites will ask you to take a selfie holding your card you made the purchase with, or you're trying to redeem with. Cover these numbers with a paper, don't cover these. And then, they'll still find some way to say that wasn't good enough. And you know, you can run in circles, and I've certainly have run in circles on what they find acceptable.
That's amazing.
You know, like for address verification, you know, some sites will take, you know, like, a lease agreement as proof of address. Some sites won't. Some sites will take a bank statement. Some sites won't. You know, there's a lot of sort of inconsistencies and like just why is this happening that goes on with that. And that's what I've experienced significantly. And that's been mostly the main gripe I have, which turns into a gripe with redemption, because obviously they aren't going to let you redeem without that. Another thing is sites are getting increasingly bold with their terms and conditions. So with sweepstakes, the way they're allowed to operate is you do get free to play ways. So, you know, you get, you know, your coins for logging in every day, and there's certain thing, you know, giveaways and whatnot. But certain sites are now capping what you can, you know, take out of those free. So even if, you know, you had your free dollar or whatnot, and you spun once and you got a jackpot, $2,000, there are a subset of sites that will now cap you at $25 lifetime, from what you got, which is a big deal. It's sort of their whole defense in the regulation is that, you know, anybody can do this. It's a giveaway, you know, it's a chance.
That sounds to me like an operator that's absolutely shooting themselves in the foot.
Yes. And
that's amazing.
It's hard to understand. I mean, obviously people are furious about this, and I was furious about this when I figured it out.
But it's just the spirit of it. It's the absolute spirit of sweeps. That's like saying, we're not a sweepstake, we're a gambling site.
And that's sort of what it gets down to often. You know, wow. They have all these defenses and then their actions say otherwise. But it's things like that, that are the spirit of the site. Cause I mean, that is hidden, you know, deep in clause 7 of their terms and conditions. And absolutely nobody who's signing up for this website, you know, off of, you know, front page ad is going to be like, oh, there's a good chance that, you know, I'm going to have all of my winnings capped.
If you see that up front, that is not going to be the site you sign up to.
Absolutely. And that is the accountability I'm trying to take, because the problem, in my opinion, is these websites do not get punished for doing this. And unfortunately, you know, this has probably been a positive financial decision for them. They're still getting their new players. It probably hasn't affected that as much. And, you know, now all these free coins they're giving out, which presumably is sort of a topic of contention in sweepstakes on how you convert that, it's basically, you know, moot. You know, it's.
But what's really interesting here is what you're talking about is operators that are both claiming legitimacy and acting on the freedom that they have because they're not regulated.
Absolutely.
That is pretty wild. I've got to be honest with you. That's like, part of me is like, admires the brazenness of that. And another part of me thinks, well, when regulation comes, these guys are screwed.
Yeah. There are plenty of good, websites that, you know, despite, you know, not much enforcement, or regulation that is enforced, they do have good practices, and, you know, you can go to customer service and they don't try and loop you around. I mean, it's not like this industry can't be sustainable and profitable while being an honest website. It's just currently there are no incentives, you know, other than maybe being the website that's known for doing that, to actually end up doing that. And these sites I mentioned before that cap your winnings, there's 15 sister sites and counting. I'm sure by next month there's probably going to be, you know, two more.
When you say sister sites, we're talking about effectively the same site, different skin.
Yes, you know, same. Wow. Same UX, you know, just different name, a little bit different graphics, but, you know, same game providers, same payment providers, same company, same support. It's hard to justify in my mind why we are doing that, if not to just, you know, be like running away a bit from what's going on your other sites, or, you know, producing some sort of wall between, you know, regulation catching up to you and you know, your revenue. So I think a lot of it is, you know, the way sweeps are being cracked down on is, you know, cease and desists and, you know, very specific lawsuits against sites. So, you know, once a site gets, you know, sued or told to stop in a state, that doesn't mean you can't start a new site and, you know, keep doing it there. So I think it's a multi-edged sword for why they're doing it, but it's hard to justify in my mind. And a lot of people don't even know, you know, maybe like this looks similar, but you know, it's a new site, right? So people should be informed that, you know, 10 of these sites they're playing on are actually all going to the same company.
Yeah. Will they care? You'd hope so, but it's, people want minimum hassle, maximum entertainment for the minimum hassle. And people can be really friggin' lazy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've had a lot of issues with, you know, this particular family of sites as well. So in Colorado, there's data privacy laws where all of your transactions and, you know, financial data, they have to keep that for a multitude of reasons for them. But for privacy, they have to keep that. And upon request, they have 90 days to give it to you. And, you know, all of them in their privacy terms, they have this, you know, they acknowledge it. They're operating in these jurisdictions where that's applicable. I think something, the stat line was something maybe 10 out of, back when I was, requesting my data, there was probably like 12 of these sites, you know, they pop up, but like 10 out of 12 had privacy emails that bounced, like they did not exist. You know, I got through on some end and, you know, then 90 days later, you know, after this had passed. So, you know, it's now we're, you know, we've broken this data privacy law. They, you know, send me an email. hey, we need a selfie with your ID, to give you any of this after 90 days. And it's, it just begs a question of, you know, they like, this can be done the right way. People are doing it. And like, I did the same request to countless other websites. Majority responded in a week with this data, you know? So, and I mean, these sites I'm talking about are popular, you know, a lot of people use them, more people sign up every day, and, you know, nobody's aware of what's going on behind the scenes.
I'm glancing through the notes while you're talking, because I mean, it's really, really interesting. And I've got a couple of questions to come back to, but one of the notes that you sent were, and this ties into what you were just talking about the sister sites, a network of sweeps brands you traced back to a handful of LLCs. Tell me that story, please.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it is just,
I'm going to settle in for this.
Yeah, it was just the story I was telling you. And so the only reason I went down this rabbit hole is because, I wanted my data, and it felt insane to me that they could just have all these privacy emails bounce. And, you know, even their parent company emails were inaccessible. So for all intents and purposes, it was borderline impossible to actually contact these companies in this sense. And so I was like, how can they do this? How can they just like be able to, these are huge sites, you know? And it's dumbfounding. They can be able to have all this, you know, obviously questionable things happening. So I dug in, and they're operating under two different LLCs, organized by the same person, you know, same skin, obviously the same people, undoubtable. You know, one of them has like 10 sites, one of them has like 5, and they're both registered in a small town in Wyoming that has more LLCs registered than it does residents. And the reason they do that is there's the most opaque business laws there in the US. So you can't see anything about them. You know, you can't see any of their revenue. You can't see who actually owns the company. You can't see really anything, which a lot of other states do allow you to get, even if it's behind a paywall. I mean, it's completely impossible there, which is, you know, it's done for legitimate privacy reasons as well. But when you see that happening, with, you know, sites like this, where transparency is kind of important. People want to know what's happening with their money, or if something goes wrong, they want to be able to know how they work up. And, you know, when you're met with a brick wall at an email, then a brick wall at the parent company's email, and then a final brick wall at the company registration itself, it begs the question, what's even going on here?
It's not a great sign, is it, really?
No. It's sort of interesting, because I think a lot of these sites are sort of doing this in preparation for, legislation coming down. You know, it is whether this becomes more regulated or completely banned, things are changing rapidly. And this network of companies itself has quite a few pending, state lawsuits from attorney generals in the U.S., very serious, pending legislation on them. Even if my concern is that even if this does pan out and they find, wow, consumers were totally, you know, ripped off, they were, you know, defrauded, whatever. Not saying that has happened. I mean, all these are pending, obviously. But the network and the architecture seems indicative that they're preparing, and to some extent, to not have to take as much responsibility as they should for that. And that sort of plays into the whole, you know, 15 sister sites. It's shells within shells, which is not necessarily what you want to be seeing out of a site that you're depositing, you know, money into.
Yeah, that it comes back to that confidence thing, doesn't it? So, right, this is kind of the big question, really, for me. You've been running for a couple of months, and I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that you've been looking at all of your user data, right? Is the information that you're presenting to players, is it working? Are you seeing that the sites that you're declaring to be reputable, are people seeing it, the information? Are they understanding the information? Are you seeing more traffic going through to the reputable sites? Or is it still an absolute, I think the American term is crapshoot?
Crapshoot, shit show, you know, who knows? But yes, you know, whether or not that's, you know, because they see these sites as more trusted, or they're just first on their screen. You know, we've only been running for a few months. It's hard to tell for sure from a limited set. But, you know, people, I mean, I try to engage actively in my community. I'm still, you know, small, so it's still relatively simple to engage in what people think about what I'm doing. And majority is like, they really appreciate that this is being made. You know, there's people have recognized the same issue that I had. You know, there's not a lot of transparent data, and people are like, I love how, you know, I can see, you know, I can see public reviews on this. I can see screenshots of a redemption that was made. I can see when that redemption was made. You know, there's acknowledgments on what we do and what we don't know. You know, it feels different than a typical affiliate site is what I've heard from my users, which is great to hear, because that's what my end goal was. So obviously there's people that disagree with my rankings. That's, you know, people have their picks, but overall, I think people resonate with the methodology, and they understand that there is a gap there. So I think tentatively it's been helpful for people, and I hope to keep growing it, you know, and get more authoritative on all of the sites that I have in my catalog, and, you know, sort of make it the ultimate resource, you know, the Wikipedia of sweepstakes, I suppose.
Awesome. Sounds great. Got to be honest with you. I love the idea. I love the data you're using. Because ultimately, you know, as animals, humans, we put more weight in what another human says to us. Rather than reading, I don't know, some marketing bollocks, you know, some absolute nonsense that has no real, you know, whereas you're in a forum, there's a bunch of people that you've already been talking to or interacting with at some level for months. One of them says something that has weight, that has value. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of tapping into that. And yeah, that's priceless, pretty much. So I suspect you're probably going to do really well. And ultimately, we're talking about sites that are, it's not just about the behavior, it's sites that are being smart enough in how they operate, and hopefully recognizing that reduces player churn, which means they have a more valuable relationship with those players for the lifetime of that player relationship. Yeah. And so it makes them more profitable. Good practice Absolutely. Makes it more profitable. Yeah. And it blows my mind that, like, I can say that and people go, well, yeah, of course it does. Yeah, but how many times do you see people doing shit like this instead of going, actually, do you know what? If we look after them, they'll come back and they won't bitch and moan about us. Like, yeah. What's that worth? Not, hey, let's bribe this dude. No, let's look at his gripe. Let's fix it. And let's show him that we fixed it. You know what I mean? It's to me, it seems like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, and I feel the same way, absolutely, which is why it's frustrating to see sites take the position that, you know, customer satisfaction is in opposition with profit and revenue, because it doesn't necessarily have to be. And a lot of these bigger sites show that. You know, there's plenty of honest ones where people, you know, come back, they're loyal, like beyond belief to these sites, because they treat, you know, they can talk to a human and support, and you know, they know they're going to get their money, and they know there's not going to be some random terms of service change. So it's not like these sites can't be profitable and long running while giving a solid service that people are going to come back to, which is why it's frustrating to see, you know, the other side of it, where, you know, they're seemingly intentionally making things difficult just for the sake of, you know, squeezing out a bit more.
I hear you. Well, good luck with the site. I think it sounds great. It's a real shame Fintan wasn't here for this conversation, because Fintan founded an affiliate site and I think he would have really enjoyed meeting you. He founded and sold his affiliate site. It was, I don't know if you'll have heard of it, it's called bonusfinder.com.
Yeah.
Sold it to gambling.com a couple of years ago. And now he smokes big fat cigars and things. I'm sure it's unconnected. but no, he would have really enjoyed meeting you. So yeah, I'm sorry you didn't get to meet him. It would be fabulous if you wouldn't mind coming back in, say, fuck, I don't know, 4 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
To just look at what's sort of happened, you know, because like you might get visits from people who are pissed off because they're at the bottom of the bottom of your ranking list, or absolutely, you know, see what's happening with that traffic, because that could be really interesting. Maybe, you know, maybe you're going to change an industry for the better.
I hope so. That would be an amazing thing to come out of this. But even if I can't, you know, influence the industry itself, I'm hoping in the end I can educate people and make things more available on an industry that's been pretty opaque.
Well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So, you know, hopefully people will see the information and they'll act on it, and the good actors in the industry will remain good, and the bad actors will see what's happening and they'll go, hang on a second. You mean I have to give people their money? Yeah. What? Nobody told me that. I wouldn't have signed up for this nonsense. But it's fab. Thank you for your time, Noah. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just @GamblingFiles. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.